I hope you're doing good today. This is a big blessing for me to be able to be here with you again. My English is still improving, so I hope you can understand everything I shared today with you. But it has been a big blessing for me to be studying the letter to the Galatians. Something that I've been thinking a lot about during this time I've been preparing is how important it is for us to be able to apply what we learn from scriptures. Because most of the times we can learn a lot and get so many information, but how do we live what we receive from scriptures? And before we go to Galatians, I'm going to pray, and you can help me pray because I'm going to need it a lot today. So I'll just pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, Lord. We are so happy to be here and be able to learn. And not just learn, Lord, but be obedient to what you are speaking to our heart. And I pray that everything we do here today will be for your glory, Lord. And that we can leave this place transformed and knowing you better and loving you more, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Okay, so we've been studying the letter to the Galatians, and we're going to read a passage today that is not that easy to comprehend if you just isolate that passage from the whole picture of what Paul is talking about. We're going to read Galatians chapter 3, and it'll be from verses 6 through 9. Before we read it, I just want to remind you a little bit of what Paul has been talking about during this letter, during this time. And in chapter 1, Paul writes this letter to the people in Galatia to defend his authority as an apostle. Because there has been a lot of people that are questioning his authority. These people are the Judaizers. And who are the Judaizers? The Judaizers were people who trusted Jesus. They believed in Jesus. They didn't really trust him. They were Jews that they believed in Jesus, but they said, Jesus is not enough. We need to abide to the law and to be circumcised and do all these rituals that they used to do. These people were questioning Paul's authority. That's why this is a letter that is very unusual, because if you read other letters from Paul, he will have an introduction and greetings, but it seems like Paul was writing this letter from a place of desperation, because he knew people was getting lost, and there was no time to be wasted at that moment. So he just said, this is who I am, and you need to be warned about what's happening right now with all these false teachers. That's why this letter doesn't have as greetings. You know, you read, and some of the letters will have prayers. And Paul didn't do this in this one because he knew these people needed help very quickly. So that's what we see in chapter 1 and chapter 2. We see that Paul is pretty much talking about his apostleship. And he actually says that he's not being sent by a man, but he's being sent by God. Because these Judaizers, the reason why they were questioning Paul is because Paul, if you remember, Jesus encountered him when he was going to Damascus. But there were the other apostles who walked with Jesus. So these Judaizers were questioning him because the other apostles, in a sense, they were when Jesus was physically on earth, but not Paul. And that was part of that problem that they were saying, you know, we've been with the real apostles, right? That's what the Judaizers were saying. So, and Paul comes and he actually talks about Peter in this letter, because he said, I'm approved by these other apostles you call the real apostles. I've been approved for them by them, right? So now we know that Paul made sure that these people understood that his words had authority, but they weren't men authority, right? Were given by God. So, and then now we're in chapter 3. Chapter 3, it's going to talk about salvation. And if you read this letter with this mindset, that what Paul is trying to do with this letter is for us to understand the gospel. That's the purpose of this letter. Because he knew that was people, even believers, they were being led astray by these false teachers. So if you, when you read the letter to the Galatians, he wants to make sure that we get it, that we get the gospel. And every time we hear false teacher, we can identify those false teachers, right? So that's why in Galatians 2:16, he says, "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Jesus Christ." When he said, "so we also have believed," he's talking about the apostles that are Jews, right? That they have been circumcised. He's saying, we have kept all these laws and we are even circumcised. We have to believe in Jesus in order to be saved. That's what he's saying here. So, yeah, in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because the works of the law, no one will be justified by the works of the law. So let's read now Galatians 3, 6 through 9. And it says, "Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it's those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." So, why Abraham? And why Paul is referring here to Abraham? Paul is assuming that everybody who's reading this letter knows about Abraham. And as we were reading last time, we know that a lot of the people in Galatia, they weren't Jews, right? They were a lot of Gentiles. So they didn't grow up following the law or knowing who Abraham probably was. But the reason why they knew about it is because of the Judaizers. Because they were coming and teaching all these things about the law and how they needed to abide to it if they wanted to be part of the blessing. As we see here, it says that in you shall all the nations be blessed, right? That's what Paul is saying. That was the gospel preached to Abraham in the Old Testament. And it's because all the nations through Abraham have been blessed. And how we've been blessed through it. And it's because there is a promise that was made to Abraham. And we're going to have to see that right now so we can understand what this passage is talking about. So we're going to go to Genesis 12. And this is going to give us a little bit of understanding about this promise. And this is very interesting because if you think about it, you have three of the main religions in the world that they track their ancestry to Abraham. And you have Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, right? They all track their ancestry to Abraham, and it's because of this promise. Everybody wants to be part of this promise. And we're going to read it right now. And let's see. So this is something that you might need to read at your home at some point so you can learn about Abraham. But we're going to jump a little bit between a few chapters and verses so we can go back to Galatians. It says in 12, I'm going to read from 12 to 4. And it says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you will be cursed. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Let's stop there for a minute. So we see here that Abraham got a few promises from God. Genesis 12. By this time, you can see how sin has been rooted in men's heart. And Abraham is not a believer. He was a pagan, right? He comes from a pagan town, city. And God calls Abraham and gives Abraham these promises. So we can see that since the beginning, God has been working through his grace, right? That was the grace of God, because Abraham wasn't seeking God. God found him, and he promised that to him. So the first promise was, "I will make you a great, nation." The second promise was, "I will bless you and make your name great." And then he said, and you, all the families, and the whole earth will be blessed." So we see that he received these promises, and then in verse 4 says that Abraham went. So that's what accounts to Abraham, because he believed God. You know, God told him all this, and he believed God. So we can say that Abraham started walking with God here in chapter 12, right? So, but if we go to Genesis 15, from chapter 12 to chapter 15 has happened, like a few years has been gone, probably like 10 years. And he's still waiting for the promise, right? And let's see. Let's go to 15:5. And it says, "And he brought him outside and said, 'Look toward the heavens and number the stars if you are able to number them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness." This verse right here is the same verse that we just read in Galatians, right? It's a quote from Genesis 15:5. And it says that Abraham was righteous because he believed God. So then if we go to Genesis 17, right? You can read this at your house whenever you can. But then this is the sign of the circumcision. So Abraham didn't believe here, right? He believed God. We're talking about 24 years after the promise, right here, the circumcision. And how do we know that? Because it says here in 17:1 that he was 99 years old. And when you read Genesis 12, it says that Abraham was 75 years old. So 24 years later comes the circumcision, right? So what Paul is trying to tell these people is, it's just simple math, right? The promise came first. The circumcision came later. The circumcision won't save you, is what God promised, right? And it's if you believe. And then he said that the ones who are called sons of Abraham are those of faith. So when you think about this, is the Jews were thinking, well, we are descendants by blood, right? But if you can read in Romans, even if we go to, let's go to John 8. And we're going to read 31 and 32 maybe. So Jesus is talking here to some Jews. And so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, or believe him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answer him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is that you say you will become free? Right? Because they were thinking, it doesn't make sense what you are telling us. We are the descendants of Abraham. We are the promised people, right? So when you see this and you compare it to what Paul is trying to say in Galatians, is you are not sons of Abraham just because you are descendants by blood. And later, we'll see, probably in the next few weeks, you will see that Paul tells the people that Abraham's seed will be the blessing for the nations. And he reveals in Galatians that that seed is Christ. Because through Christ, we all are saved, right? So this is something important for us to think about, because there's many people that will say, why is so important the Old Testament? We have the New Testament. A lot of people will reject the idea that we need the Old Testament, right? But we can see that if we don't have the Old Testament, sometimes we won't be able to comprehend what the author is saying. But more important, we can see that the work of God is the same through the whole scriptures. His word hasn't changed. And that's why it's important for us to understand the word. Something that we also is good to think about is that it's not to excuse the Galatians, but they didn't have the written word of God. And we have it. When these letters were circulating, the New Testament wasn't completed. So they had to trust those who were speaking to them, because it was an oral transmission of the word. But now we have the scriptures, and this is a big blessing for us, because we can know who is a false teacher. We can test those people who comes and talk, you know, about the scriptures, and we can say, okay, is these people actually saying the truth, or I'm believing a lie, right? And I don't know you, but I have had so many experiences with people that comes and knock to our doors, Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, and they will tell us that they believe in Jesus, right? They will tell us that they're Christians, but the truth is, so many people fall into their traps because they don't know scriptures, and the Jesus they're talking is not the Jesus we know in the scriptures, right? They don't even use scriptures for their sex sometimes. Like, for example, the Mormons, they have the Book of the Mormon, and everything, the Book of the Mormon contradicts the scriptures, right? But this is a different topic, but we're talking about self-righteousness today, because that's what was the problem during this time. People wanted to be self-righteous, and I think it's something that is in human nature. Even me being here before you, is why am I preaching? Am I looking for men's approval? Am I looking for to please men, right? Or I'm doing this for the glory of God. I remember when I came to missions, one of my mentors told me, if you go outside and your motivation to share the gospel is to save people, you're going to fail. Because you can go and preach to 100 people outside, and at the end of your sermon, nobody will accept Christ. If your motivation is to save them, you will fail. But if your motivation is to glorify God, even if nobody raises their hand, you won't fail. Because your goal is to glorify God. And just reading this, it made me realize how important it is for us to understand that we are not saved by what we do or how good we are. And even when Paul is talking about the law in Galatians, he's not saying that the law was bad. The law was made for a good purpose. But the law is not what saves us. The law was made to show men our condition as sinners, right? If we see the law, we can see our condition before the Lord. But the Bible also says that the law is like a mirror. And when you see yourself in the law, you know you need to be clean. But you don't grab the mirror and clean with the mirror yourself, right? You run somewhere else to get clean. And that's what the law should do in us. See our condition and then run to Christ, because that is where we can have salvation. And I want to read something for you very quick. Well, we were talking about why the law is so attractive. And I was telling you, because our nature as humans is recognition. We look for recognition. But the good news is that now that we can recognize that whatever good we do, we don't do it to earn God's favor. Because somebody can misunderstand this and say, well, if you receive Christ now and you said you don't have to do any works or do good things, so that means you can accept Christ and just be living as you were living, right? But that's not the point, because when we receive Christ, there is a work that is being done in us. And the Holy Spirit makes us to see what is good for us and what is not good. And that's through scriptures. And I think that's when we start realizing that we're doing good things, not because we're going to be saved through them, but because we glorify God through those things, right? Those are the fruits of the believer. And it's like you become to Christ, you are saved, and then you have fruits. The fruits won't come before you are saved, right? So those are fruits of the believer. So that's something that is very encouraging to us, that we can see that there will be fruits in our walk with the Lord. Yeah, so just as Abraham believed and it counted to him as righteousness, the main point of this text is that we have to believe in Christ, right? And as I told you, it's hard to grab a text like this and take it out of just as a few phrases. But when you see the whole picture, you will see how Paul is going to transition from this letter talking about his authority as an apostle. Then he's talking in verses 3-4 about salvation. And then he's going to talk about sanctification later. And that's very important, because it's the way we have to live as believers, right? So I want us to go to Romans 4:11. It says, he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith. While he was still circumcised, the purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised. so that righteousness will be counted to them as well. Yeah, I read that from 11 through 12. Well, to just 11. But as you see, Paul is the same author of Romans, and he keeps talking about how faith is what brings salvation to the believer. And let me read Romans 5, 1, 5, 2, and he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So this is something that we can trust, you know, is we have Christ, and that's all we need to be able to glorify God in our eternal life. You know, Christ has paid the price for us. And something I was thinking is, you see all these people trying to be saved by works through scriptures. And there is a part in the Bible where this crowd was waiting for Jesus. And they ask him in John 6:20. You don't have to look for it. I'll read it for you. John 6:28-29 says, "Then they said to him, 'What must we do to be doing the works of God?' And Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.'" I want to pray for us today. And I know, I don't know if everybody here is a believer, but I want to encourage you, if you don't know Christ, just to consider giving your life to Christ. It's the only hope we have. There is nothing here that we can gain. You know, everything that we receive here is still God's grace, and we owe it to him. And I think if you don't know Christ, I will invite you to make that decision. You can look for somebody who can walk you through scriptures and just understand what God did for us on the cross. So I pray, and thank you. Lord, thank you so much for this time. We are so thankful, Lord, for the sacrifice that you went through just for our sins, Lord. And thank you for the peace that now we can have when we go home, knowing that we are at peace with you, Lord, because you have made us righteous through your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be able to just gather here and fellowship to glorify you, Lord. Thank you so much for this time, and I pray that this word can be like a seed in our hearts, Lord, that will give fruit at some point, Lord. Thank you so much. Amen. I'm going to sing one more song. And if you want to stand. Tender will prevail. He will hold me fast. I could never give.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the glory, and the power, and the glory.